This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Are we recording?
We're recording now.
John Chow.
I'm not.
Oh, God. Do we have to go through that all again?
Yeah, we got to do the whole thing again.
Oh, jeez.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. And this time we're recording it. We just recorded the opener to this program and realized that we didn't actually record it. The button wasn't pushed. But we have a very special show today. First of all, I just got to explain a couple things. John and I are in studio today, and Marcia is down in Indianapolis because she is spending some quality time. Quality time with her daughter, Dee Dee, whom you've met via the podcast as well, who is in a show in Indy at the Indiana Repertory. What's the name of that show?
The House That Jack Built.
And it's a new play, isn't it?
Yes, it just got recorded last night for Pulitzer consideration.
Oh, very cool. Great. That would be really neat for her to be in the opening cast of a Pulitzer Prize winner. I say Pulitzer without popping peas on the microphone.
That's here. All right.
All right. And also we have another guest with us today from on the other Skype line from Sherman, Texas, Amy Shojai, who we all know years ago as Amy Monteith from this area, from our northern Indiana area. She was involved in our community theater, Elkhart Civic Theater, but she's down there in Sherman, Texas, and is a writer of many books about animal behavior. She's an animal behaviorist, and also a novel, which we will possibly be talking about in the other podcast, Thriller Thursday. But we're talking today about her new musical, which is called Curves, K-U-R-V-E-S. Welcome to Theater Geeks, Amy.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dave.
Tell us again a little bit about the play, about the show. It's a musical, okay. And you wrote it. You wrote the words and music. I mean, you've written the whole thing. You with a collaborator, right?
Right. Frank Steele and I have done a number of shows here in Sherman, Texas, and in Dallas, and in the North Texas area. And Curves, the musical, we wrote the book, the music, arranged the full orchestration. There's a CD that has full orchestration with everything from calliope sounds to blown bottle sounds. It's a lot of fun, the music program that I use to help arrange the music for. But we had this idea about writing a show that would work really well for a variety of different venues, for everything from high school to college to professional, hopefully, and of course community theater, because that's kind of where our roots are. And so we came up with this concept about, well, all right, we want a small cast. We want it to be an ensemble effort, a performance, because, you know, the star vehicles just don't really turn me on, because you have one big star and then the rest of the people kind of satellite around. It's always, for me, it's more fun to have an ensemble cast. And this way also, we could invite in all of our buddies, which is always great fun. And in fact, when you're writing a show and you have certain people in mind, it's amazing how easily some of the dialogue comes, because we could actually hear how this particular character would say. And we had trouble. We'd have to go back and say, well, this is what this is what Fingers would say, because we knew who we were writing the part for.
Mm-hmm.
So the show opens, it's set in a woman's gym. And the woman's gym is located in Curves, Texas, but it could be in Curves, Indiana, or uh-huh. Curves, Iowa. So it's really kind of a generic thing. We wanted this to be so easy to adapt to the actors that the director has available. So we made it pretty much open-ended. the woman's gym has some characters, kind of stock characters, where, you know, if everybody is familiar with the old TV program Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Well, Curves is this small town version of that for the women. Uh-huh. In the town. So they always show up every morning to work out, but it's really more of a place to catch up and gossip and be supportive of each other. And everybody has problems. There's a mousy school teacher who's trying to slim down for her 20th reunion, her high school reunion, where the boys didn't ever even notice her. And there's a young newlywed from the wrong side of the tracks that married the town Adonis, but she thinks for the wrong reasons. And there's the owner of Maxine's, the gym, who has a secret and kind of walks like a wrestler, you know. That's kind of odd, but everybody loves Maxine. Maxine has been there for 30 years. And then there's Mabel, who is, she runs a soup kitchen, and she's kind of this big drill sergeant type demeanor, but takes care of, she picks up strays, human and otherwise, and takes care of everybody. And in this group, a couple of inept robbers, burglars, break in to burglarize the women, get gas money so they can get out of this podunk town. And, of course, the women came to work out. They don't even have their purses. There's no money there. And they get locked in to this woman's gym. Before that happens, there's a stranger in town, Celia Lovejoy. And she arrives decked out, full makeup, wearing sparkles to work out because she is a motivational speaker, very famous. And, of course, they all recognize her. They all get locked into this gym and, as they say, hilarity ensues. But what happens, everybody in this place has their secrets, has the things that they want to have happen, and everybody thinks the other guy has it better than they do. And by the end of the show, it's a full length 2-hour musical with an intermission, 12 original songs. And by the end of the show, everybody discovered, hey, you know, I had what I needed all along. And they kind of group up in couples. There's a kind of a surprise at the end. Of course, Maxine, the reason Maxine was looking so
odd. Oh, don't give it away.
Odd.
Don't give it away.
Oh, don't give it away. Okay, I won't give it away.
I think I'm the only one that's read it. Don't give it away.
Ah, okay.
Okay. But it's great fun. The other part of that was writing the music, because Frank Steele is a drummer. He's played all over the world when he was in the military and everything else. And he's a brilliant percussionist, and then I play cello and piano, and voice is my major instrument. And so we wanted these songs to not just be fun and entertaining, but to actually move the story forward, to give background information on the characters, to develop them, rather than just have, oh my goodness, here's a pretty song I am going to now sing. It was more of a, right. I want all of the songs to work as part of the whole. And really, I think if you take any of the songs out, you lose a big part of the show. And I've been in shows where people, you know, for time constraints or whatever, they cut a verse or they had to cut parts of the music. This show, you really can't. Mm-hmm. And there are some, I think, some very moving songs. There are also some really kind of fun songs as well. Mm-hmm. And I tease Frank about, okay, well, you know, the real goofy ones, that's what you wrote. I wrote all of the really touching things.
Oh, okay.
but at this point, it's hard for us to tell who wrote what. It was a really interesting collaborative process.
Cool. What was the hardest, what was the most difficult part about it? I mean, you find that the music was easier for you, or was it the dialogue, or was the dialogue harder? I mean, how do you, or was it, is it just getting the plotting out and it wrote itself?
It pretty much wrote itself. We met. I took my laptop up to the City Limits restaurant, and we figured out how many characters we wanted, who they were, kind of the basic storyline, who wanted what. We started out with that, you know, who these people were, what they wanted out of life that they couldn't get, what was in their way, and how could they possibly get it. And we started out with breakdowns. And I went home and I took the female characters and wrote breakdowns. And Frank took the male characters and did. And then we came in and we would say, okay, so-and-so says this. Okay, type, 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 type. And I said, yes. And in response, so-and-so says this. Okay, type, 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 type. And it really did kind of write itself. We knew what we needed to get done by the end of the first act. And then we knew how we needed to resolve it toward the end. It was interesting because there were times where Frank would bring me some great lyrics, but we didn't know where they were going to go. And then I knew that we wanted to do a gospel number. There's a fun gospel number, and it's called "Suck It Up, Sweetheart." And the whole chorus part of it was just this big, basically, you know, get over yourself. Everybody has life bad, and don't rely on luck or look at other people for that. And as it turns out, the lyrics that Frank had written early on, each of these characters would sing about, that's where the verses went. So it was like I had done the chorus part and he had done the other part early on, and they went together seamlessly. It was just really amazing. There was another section in the opening of the second act where These two characters have finally seen met each other, recognized each other again. The dream, where I had written parts of it, and Frank had written a secondary part, and I wasn't sure how it was going to fit together. Well, it came together as a duet, and it was just magnificent the way it worked out as a duet.
Well, you have actually performed this, right?
Yes.
It has been performed a couple times, and I'm not sure the time frame. Are you reviving it now? And how hard is it to get it actually produced?
That was the hard part. Writing it was easy. Writing it was easy, and getting the music, that was like brain candy for me, you know, to get the arrangements. And I have this wonderful software writing program, Sibelius, that I could experiment with. Oh, I think this needs trumpets here, or oh, this is going to be lush strings there, or, you know, bring in a weird kind of percussion thing. The difficulty came in getting our wish list actors to be able to have the time to do it, and then schedule it with the theater. So we had completed the show. We thought it was done. And had some table reads with our actors it was like July, August. And we had scheduled with a local community college. We were going to perform it there. And as it turned out, they had a conflict, so they had to delay it. That threw everybody's schedules off. So we ended up ultimately going to a brand new renovated theater, the Rialto Theater, in Denison, Texas. It's about 14 miles from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having a grand opening, and we were going to be the opening live performance the first weekend in February of 2012. Well, as it turned out, they were still renovating. They didn't have heat in the place yet. They didn't have it up to code yet. So they called us and said, sorry, but we're going to have to bump it again. Meanwhile, we're paying somebody for rehearsal space somewhere else.
Oh, geez.
And so this is all out of Frank and my's pocket. And we've told our actors, we want this to be a professional event for you. So even if we have to pay you $5 each, you know, or a Burger King or something, by golly, you're getting paid. And so we gave them, you know, here's the good news. We still have a venue. Here's the bad news. We have to delay it a month. Please tell us you're still available. And thank goodness they were. But our one character had to delay foot surgery because she had heel spurs and she didn't want to be in a boot on stage. So we performed it then. It was such a huge success. We performed it March 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Rialto Theater. Had great crowds. Wonderful response to it. People came up from Dallas. We were reviewed very positively, and they loved it so much. The Rialto asked us to bring it back, and we just finished a revival, another weekend performance in early October. I think it was October 11th, 12th, 13th, something like that. Okay. So the cast now is scattered to the winds, and it would be difficult to bring that cast back. We had to replace three of our people with the revival cast just because of schedule.
Well, now are you now how Marcia? Are you still with us? Are we I'm not sure if I hear your breathing or anything.
I'm here.
You're there. Okay, good. I was just wondering. In terms of marketing this, what's the approach? I mean, you're not with. Are you with one of the licensing houses at this point or not?
Not yet. But the deal is with publishing plays, you have to have minimum a table read, better have it produced before they'll ever look at it.
So
the key was getting it produced. So we've done both. Our next step actually is to get a cast recording of it. We have some YouTube videos up, but they aren't great quality because they're kind of during rehearsal or during performance. So we want to get professional CD recorded that we can have available. We do have the orchestration available, which is really cool. We designed this because I volunteered at the local high school musical productions for years, and I've played piano on stage. The local was one of the first high schools given the rights to do Chicago, right. And I played the first keyboard of that on stage. Well, it's easier. It's lovely to have a live orchestra, but it's easier for the kids if they have a CD to perform to because it never changes, and the kids can rely on it. So we found it was so much easier to have an orchestration that's recorded, and then the sound system can adjust the levels and all of that.
Right.
And that for marketing too. So we have that available. We also have a piano score, printed piano score. I could print out the orchestration, but I don't know how many people are going to have blown bottle, which is one of the instruments. Because I
think I can do that. I think I can do that.
Yeah. You know,
that's one instrument I can play.
Well, since it was recorded, I could, you know, put anything in it I wanted. So what we're doing now, I've got at amyshojai.com is my blog, and I have a page there with pictures, recordings from the performance. I have licensing information. People can contact us if they want to directly license it. We will be sending it out, submitting it to some of the licensing houses.
Let me ask you a question.
See where we go from there.
Let me ask you a question about licensing it right now. You mean you're licensing it yourself? Do you feel that you need to be careful about who gets to produce it right now while it's still in the process of, you know, you're trying to get it with one of the major houses? In other words, do you want to make sure that you're not sending it to some group that's going to kind of screw it up or bastardize it or change it or try to, you know, really not do it correctly?
Well, that's an issue, I think, even once it is published. I know Neil Simon has it in his contracts that if you change a word, he'll come after you with, you know, an Uzi and take you.
Uzi, that's a good licensing tool.
Oh, yeah. Now, literally, he has shut down community theaters for changing. Mm-hmm.
Right, and it can happen. We did a podcast recently about that. John, did you have a question?
Well, I was just I had a question specifically about the soundtrack. You know, would you prefer, as the composer of the show and as the writer, would you prefer that people play the music live, or would you rather have them use the what I would call a click track?
Well, the click track is just a lot easier to do, and I think you're going to get the full sound. Now, I could certainly print out the scores and all that. It would be more costly, and I don't know how many people would have the space to mount a full pit orchestra.
Sure.
Or the money. Yeah. I mean, depending on how you do it. Right.
Right. The budgetary factors are there. And so we did it from the viewpoint of somebody that's producing it could do it on a shoestring if they needed to. The playwright, I'm more concerned with them performing the characters, the integrity of the characters. And for instance, this last time that when we did the revival, we had a different actor play Troy Chadwick Noonan IV. And this is the character who comes in right at the very end. He is the Adonis who married the young girl from the wrong side of the track. And now the first time we did it, this was fun. My pastor from the Lutheran church played the character, and I love him to death. Craig Sturm is just a wonderful performer, but he looks like Ichabod Crane. And so when he walked in, and the entire show, people have been referring to him as, you know, the golden boy. He was the football star. He was, you know, all of this. And then Troy walks in, and the whole deal is that the girl, Ronnie, who's in love with him, thinks of him that way because she's so in love with him. So you can cast it however you want. It could be somebody who weighs 400 pounds and it would still work. The second time that we did the show, our dear friend Gil Nelson stepped in to do the part. Well, Gil is vertically challenged and quite a bit older than the girl playing Ronnie. So, I mean, he had a little bit of hair loss and beautiful voice, very different performance. But he had a concern over one of the lines was, "Don't worry, honey, you'll be the youngest DA this town's ever." No. Well, it turned it into a laugh line that we didn't intend.
Right.
Things like that, depending on your cast, certainly people can change dialogue to work better, those slight things. We, as right. as playwrights, we would appreciate being asked
right.
first. And
oh, sure.
if
sure.
valid, then I have no problem with that.
Right. So do you have any other musicals coming up, Amy? Anything else that you guys have in the pipeline?
Actually, yeah. We're playing around with, because of my background with the dogs and the cats, and I have huge contacts in the animal welfare community and breeds community, we're going to do Strays the Musical, and it's going to be more of a kind of a vignette type thing. There will be a storyline that ties everything together, but it won't be so much it will be more like scenes. Okay, now we're going to do scene with the cat that's just been thrown out of the house. Now we're going to do a scene with the dog chasing the ball. And the characters, the actors, will be the cats or the dogs. But it's going to be more like Your Good Man Charlie Brown, where Snoopy is not in a dog costume. He just maybe, you know.
Sure,
so,
sure.
So
right.
Maybe have a sparkly collar, that kind of thing. But it will be a show that can edutain people about pets. Why the cat is using the potted palm for the bathroom box. You know, some of and kind
well,
of debunk.
Will you come back and tell us more about that when it's up and running or when you're finished? Are you still writing?
Still writing on that one. We have some lyrics. We have a couple of songs orchestrated, but honestly, I've been busy with the launch of the thriller, so it's
cool.
And right now I'm playing cello in Seussical the Musical for the local the children's theater. So busy.
Well, cool. I enjoyed, as I read the script, I enjoyed the fact that it's definitely accessible for local community theaters, and I did appreciate that immensely. So thank you for doing that. I like to see that.
We'll have information about, well, we'll put links up to the video and also to your website for folks listening to the podcast so that they can find out about it. So go to theatergeeks.com and when this episode is up, and you'll be able to find links, especially if you're a community theater looking for something new and interesting to produce. And anyway, thank you very much for being with us, Amy, today on Theater Geeks.
Thank you so much. And I think I talked too much. Edgewise, so
that's quite all right. I usually talk too much.
Hang on
after, because I have some messages from people that you knew back in the day.
Okay, all right.
Oh, love that. And people can contact me at amyshajai.com. Happy to send a perusal copy. You know, we're finding our way here, so help us get the word out. We would love that.
All right. Well, thanks very much. We're going to wrap up this episode. Remember that you can find, again, all the show notes and everything for this episode at theatergeeks.com. You can also go to our online store, where you can buy all kinds of good stuff like hats, caps, mugs, etc.
I won't say it, Marcia.
There you go.
Okay. Don't care, John.
All right. And oh, by the way, I just want to mention to you, one time only. Theater Geeks is in the top 10 finalists in the podcast awards. You can vote every day between the time you hear this up until November 15th.
I've been voting
for Theater Geeks at podcastawards.com. So you can vote every day. It's multiple times, just like in Chicago. You can vote multiple times. So there you go. Thanks for being with us. And thank you again to Amy Shojai for joining us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.